Parables are an interesting feature of how Jesus taught the gospel. The scripture we read from Matthew 13 today is a very familiar scripture, the farmer sowing the seed that lands on the different types of soil. There are 27 parables in the New Testament. Some of them are repeated. For instance, this parable is repeated in both Mark and Luke. But parables are different from fables. Fables aren't about real situations. Jesus used parables as a way to teach things that are hard for us to understand, or those things that we might be unwilling to accept. The parable of the sower teaches us that God makes His love and His word available to people everywhere. The seed in the parable represents the word of God. Elsewhere in Ephesians, what was the word represented by in the book of Ephesians? Paul said it's a sword. Put on the armor of God, and the sword is the word of God. The word of God is, we're taught a lot about it by Jesus and by Paul and the apostles, and all the writers of the scripture in the Old Testament and the New Testament, because the very word of God is what our lives are all about. Whether we accept it or not, it still is what our lives are all about. And why shouldn't the word of the Creator of everything be important to us? But note that the seed was thrown everywhere. On the hard soil, it was thrown everywhere. The hard, the rocky, the weeded, and the fertile soil. Surely the farmer knew which soil the seed would grow in. Don't you think the farmer knew that it was no use throwing the seed on the path that was trodden by feet and carts? Don't you think the farmer knew that the seed thrown in the weeds would not produce, nor would the seed thrown in the rocky, thin soil? But Jesus tells us in this scripture that the farmer is God. And God has provided time and resources for everyone to hear the word. Don't you think that God knows that all will not receive the word? God knows, but God so loved the world that He sent His only Son. Why do you think Jesus' parable has Him wasting His seed on unproductive soil? God knows that His word will fall upon the hard heart, the shallow heart, the strangled heart, and the open heart. Yet, Scripture tells us over and over again that God's word is always productive. If we go to Isaiah 55, 10 through 11, hear now the word of the Lord. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there until they have watered the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. The word of the gospel has been commanded by Jesus to be brought to everyone, everywhere. But not everyone will accept it or receive it. Not everyone is ready to receive it. The hard heart, Jesus tells us, that when the word falls upon it, it's quickly snatched away by the devil. What hardens someone's heart so much? I would suggest that later today you take a moment and read the first chapter of Romans. Read Romans 1. Romans 1 informs us that the heart is hardened by sin. In his letter to the Romans, Paul tells us that once we sin and then sin again, it becomes easier to sin the third time and the fourth time and over and over. Our sin becomes more normal to us. We become accustomed to our sin. And over time, our heart becomes hardened to the word of Christ. And we do not accept it. A hardened heart is hardened by sin so much that it desires sin more than it desires the word. It in fact hates the word. Then we move on to the thin soil. The shallow heart receives the word, but only on an emotional basis. It does not receive the Holy Spirit in and accept this, become a changed life. Oh yes, they change for a time. They get all excited. They get hallelujah. They get caught up in the praise music or caught up in prayer and emotional experience. They could come to church every Sunday, but they never really let the Holy Spirit take over their life. They never really give themselves up to Jesus Christ. Never really let it be who they are and become one with the Spirit. And so the first thing that comes along that challenges them on their belief of the word, the first time somebody makes them uncomfortable because of their stated beliefs, or the first time it becomes more convenient to go back to their old ways, it's all over. They return to their old ways, or they walk away in sadness. Or sometimes they move on to a newer, more lively church or a different group of believers. When the seed falls upon the weeds and the thorns, what we have is a strangled heart. There are many, there's examples in the Bible. Don't you remember that when the rich young man came to Jesus and said, "What do I need to find salvation?" And Jesus told him to go and give everything that you have to the poor. Because Jesus didn't have a problem with people having riches or wealth, but Jesus had a real big problem when their wealth and riches, or their job, or their friends, or their fishing, or their hunting, or their knitting group, or their reading group, or anything else separates them from the Father, strangles out that and becomes a priority. There are clubs that do a great deal of service in our community, that give generously, that serve well, and that are just a lot of fun to be part of. But don't you know there are many people who belong to these clubs that will go to the clubs, and if they miss one, they'll go to another club of the same kind and make up that date because it's so important that they are a part of that club. They will put that club as a priority, or their golf group as a priority in their life, or their whatever group it is. But they take it so seriously that they would not dream of not paying their dues or not attending or not participating. And there's nothing wrong with clubs. They're called service clubs for a reason, because they are people in a group together to serve one another, and that's what we're called to do. They're good things. But it's not good if it strangles out our relationship with Jesus Christ. If it becomes a priority in our life greater than that of our church and our families and our and those things that the Lord is calling us to do. So good things, very good things, can be the weeds of our life and strangle out our relationship with Jesus Christ. It can also be the things that we are so intent of getting more of. It can be money, it could be property, it could be collecting plates, it could be anything. In themselves, none of those things are bad, but they can strangle out our relationship with the Father. And Jesus says, if your eye does that, pluck it out. If your hand does that, cut it off. He's serious about this. We have to avoid those things that separate us from God. And then there's the fertile soil. Isn't it good now we're talking about us? That's part of the problem. We always think that the fertile soil is us, and the hard and the strangled and the thin soil is them. The open heart receives the gospel like good soil, receives the word with joy, and bears fruit. And it's interesting that Jesus says that it bears fruit 100 or 60 or 30 times. Many of the epistles talk about the importance of bearing fruit. We are not saved by our good works. We cannot earn our salvation. It's a gift. Jesus paid the price. God gave us Jesus. God allowed Jesus to die upon the cross for my sins, for your sins. It's a gift. We can't earn it, can't repay it. But Jesus said, you are known for your works. Jesus said, when you bring a glass of water to one that's thirsty, when you visited me in prison, when you clothed me when I was naked, when you did anything for me, for others, you did it for me. Jesus commands us to do his work. And a tree that does not bear fruit is just taking up ground. And a Christian that does not do any work for Christ is just taking up space. Jesus says in his parable that we are to bear fruit. We are to produce for Christ. Our works are the only evidence that we are actually saved and actually know Jesus Christ. The interesting thing about it is that Jesus said it could bear 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold. Jesus doesn't say that the more work you do, the more valuable you are. He says some produce 100, some produce 60, some produce 30. Everyone is different. Everyone has different gifts. Everyone has different callings. Everyone doesn't do the same thing in the same way. So we don't measure works by human standards. Jesus knows what's in our hearts. As a matter of fact, Jesus said that when you give it in secret. When you pray, which is a work, do it in hiding. Now, obviously, Jesus prayed aloud to the crowds and prayed to his disciples, so we're certainly allowed and encouraged to pray together. But Jesus said, do not do this so that men can see you. Do not give so that people will see and give you praise. So he's not talking about quantity of work. He's talking about the importance of doing his will, his work. We're not always prepared to receive God's word, though, are we? Some days it's easier than others. Sometimes it's easier than others. But there's so much evil in this world we live in, and the evil one will do everything he can to stop us from having a closer relationship with Jesus. I do believe in the devil. I do believe in the evil one, because in these very words we just read, Jesus said that the devil snatches up his word and takes it away so the hard heart won't have time to rethink it, to give it a second thought. But you know, fertile ground requires preparation. All of you who have or have had a garden know that the quality of your garden is directly related to the pain in your back. All ground requires work. This ground certainly requires work. Jesus gave us another parable. He said, a man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but he didn't find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now I've come to look for fruit on this fig tree, and I haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it take up soil in my garden? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, cut it down. Jesus is telling us that he will give us time, but he won't give us forever. I know I've told some of you, I may have said it from the pulpit before, maybe 20 times, because I tend to do that. But someone asked me, now and then somebody will ask me when I'm around in my hometown of Front Royal, and they'll say, have you lived here all your life? I said, well, not yet. I turned 64 yesterday. That's how old my father was when he passed away. Now I have two older sisters and an older brother, and then I have a younger brother. So there's something about attaining the lifespan that one of your parents did that makes you think about it a little bit. So I haven't lived there all my life yet, but the thing is, I don't know how long yet is. I don't know. And you don't know. The man said, let's dig around the tree and let me see if I can fertilize it and get and see if it'll bear fruit. But if it doesn't, cut it down. The Holy Spirit is ready to prepare your heart to receive the gospel, the good news, the very good news of Jesus Christ. The very good news of God's kingdom. We need to call upon the Holy Spirit to dig around our roots, to break up the clumps in our heart, to enrich us with spiritual wisdom. Pull those weeds and desire out of my heart that aren't supposed to be there. To rid us of some of those stones that we wall up to protect ourselves from hurt and pain. Those stones that we should have given up to the Lord a long time ago. Protect us from the evil one, the blight that seeks to destroy us. And we ask the Holy Spirit to shine the light of Jesus upon us so that we can bring forth fruit for the Lord. How is the soil in your heart? Are you producing a harvest for Jesus Christ? What are you feeding the soil of your heart? Are you feeding upon the Word? Are you feeding upon God's Word? Praying the pages of your Bible, underlining it, marking it up, reading it, and praying for understanding? That's how we feed the soil. That's how we nourish the heart. As in Isaiah, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing which I sent it. God's word never returns void. But it sometimes takes a lifetime to see fruits spring forth from seeds that were planted years earlier. Sometimes the word will not be received by the hearer of the hardened, the shallow, or the strangled heart. But instead, the speaking of the gospel profoundly changes the one who shares it. So sometimes I believe that even though we go out and we share the gospel with others, some of them will not receive it. Some of them will not stay with it. And some of them will just be too busy and too distracted to understand it. But even if no one receives it, even if no one accepts it, we are called to share the word. Because in the process, that word changes you, changes me, forever. It's not for us to know who will receive it and who won't receive it, but we're to fill our bag with seed, with the Word of God, and we are to spread the seed everywhere. And praise be to God. Amen.